and I've been driving the truck all week this week, and one of our local trucks here is shut down basically, so if you're looking for a removalist, I'm it at the moment, which it's not ideal, and it is quite tiresome sometimes. So I just want to share testimony that from my life before I share the message this morning, and the inspiration of this message has really come from real life experience in my life, that I'm sort of a guy that overdoes it, to say the least, at times, and puts too much on my plate, and for those of you who know me can probably recognize that. And the inspiration of this message is when I was asking the Lord, what do I share with the congregation this Sunday? And this word rest just came up, rest. And when we think of rest, we think of immediately having a sleep and having a lie down and just putting our feet up and relaxing. Or, you know, you might go to the doctor and you're unwell and they say the best thing to get over this is to rest. And we look at all of these situations. And then when I'm in the truck and I'm driving, you know, back from Brisbane or to Brisbane or whatever, I've got a load on. To me, that's a rest while I'm driving, but the action happens when I arrive at the destination of the pickup or the drop-off. That's when the work really starts. So to me, in the truck is a rest. And when we're looking on the other aspect of this world that we live in, we see that we live in a world that is totally full of unrest, wars, persecutions to Christians, all of the things, the turbulent times that we all endure as Christians, the turbulent times that people are out there enduring right now, drug addicts, and all of the people who are lost in their sins that we ought to be praying for and reaching out to. And we just look at this unrest and we just see that the Lord never meant it to be like this. And in Genesis chapter 1, where I'm going to start this morning, we are going to pray. I just want to build a foundation to the start of this message. If you've got your Bibles there, you can turn to chapter 1 in readiness. We're just going to open in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that you are the God of peace and you are the God of rest. You're the one, if we would listen to you, Father God, just as the song just said there, that if we take your yoke upon us, Father God, it's easy to bear, it's light, and you will give rest to our souls. So we surrender this time to you this morning, Lord, and for those of us who are in here this morning, at this very moment, who have had a big week or a big month or a big year or just a big life, Father God, we thank you that your rest, the revelation of what your rest is, will come through to their hearts today. That it's not exactly as we think as human beings, but it's what your Bible, what your word says and teaches what rest truly is. So we just give you praise and we give you glory as we share this word, that your anointing, the Holy Spirit power, will be upon this message in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So this morning, as we read this passage here in verse 31, this is creation week. And it says in verse 31 of chapter 1, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now you're probably saying, why didn't you read all that for us? Well, I know that you know all of creation. Who knows the story of creation? So this is at the end of the 6 days of creation. And the key message in this, just this one little verse, is that God saw everything and it was very good. Now, when we think good, we think, yeah, well, good. But when we want to really say something's good, what is a word? Just yell out a word, something better than good. Fantastic. One more. Awesome. Awesome. That was the one I was thinking of. But fantastic. All of these things, that's what good is. But in the Hebrew, the word for good is tov, T-O-V, very easy. It means harmonious, beneficial. It means beautiful. So next time your wife cooks a good meal, at the end of it, say, that meal was tov. And that's saying it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Amen? So when we're looking at the passage that we're looking at here, God is looking at the creation of the 6 days past. It's the evening of the sixth day at this point in time. And he says it's tov. It's very good. It's beautiful. There is nothing lacking. He looked at the stars in the heavens and said, that's beautiful. That's done. There wasn't another star to add. It was done. It was finished. His work was done. He looked at Niagara Falls and he didn't want to need to reshape that. That was perfect. He looked at the Grand Canyon. He didn't need to dig that out further. It was all perfect. Everything was perfect. Everything was tov. And that's what God's kingdom is. And that's the kingdom that he wants you and I to grab and grasp more and more revelations of every day that we live. To know the goodness of God, the mercies of God, the compassion of God, the awesome splendor of God, and the dunamis of God, the power of God. Amen? He has that creative power that he used in those first 6 days. The creative power that created man. The creative power that created the seas and the mountains and the waterfalls and all of the beauty that we see in this world, though it be a fallen world at this time. But praise God for his son, that he came to seek and save that which was lost in the garden not too long after this little passage. So I want you to get a revelation of that everything was good, everything was perfect, it was a finished work. And not only that God created everything to reproduce. So it wasn't having to be that he would have to, in a week's time, go and add a few more cows of the cows and the cattle that he owns on 1,000 hills. He didn't have to add. It would reproduce itself because he's created it like that way. Everything to replenish. Have you ever seen a bushfire go through? You know, we've seen one go through this district. I remember the mountains over there, and Elaine's not here this morning. Yes, he is. He is there. Elaine was, him and his family were in the middle of one of those, and this was a few years back, and everything was destroyed, houses and everything. But then, not too long after that, the wildlife and the trees, it just all comes beautiful and green. It just was replenished. It come back. And the earth and everything in it is being created in that way to reproduce, to come back to life. And the life is in God himself. He is the life that dwells in you. He's the life that dwells in me. And he is the God that desires to give us that rest, and which he had in this verse, in chapter 2, once all this was done, it says, thus the heavens and the earth, this is chapter 2 of Genesis, thus all the heavens and the earth, all the hosts of them were finished, complete. And when God completes something, it's complete. When I say I've completed something and Jody goes to check if I've completed it, it's not quite complete. She says, you've got to do it this way. You've got to do it a little bit more. You've got to go and add to it. This isn't the case here. The scriptures, when God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, the whole universe, the whole galaxies and everything that we can't even fathom, it was complete. It was perfect, and it was tov. It was good. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the works which God had created and made. He called this seventh day sanctified. Does anyone know the meaning of sanctification or sanctified? Very good. 10 out of 10. It's to be set apart. He set that day aside. Now, we know denominations, we know people in denominations who keep this seventh day as such, as a rest day, as, anyone know what the name of it is? The Sabbath. The Sabbath. Now, that's all fine. Keeping, you know, I'm not here to judge any of that this morning. But I am here to bring a revelation in regards to the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath is not what you think it is. It's not just the Saturday. The Sabbath is the rest of God in the life of the believer. That you just have a rest in your heart, in your life, that you just know that God is your rest. He is your peace that surpasses all understanding, and that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Even in the midst of the raging storm, you can be at peace. You know, there was an art competition several years ago, and the art topic or subject, whatever you want to call it, was rest. I want you to paint something. These were professional artists. They had to paint something that illustrated rest. And they had so many beautiful paintings of skies and waterfalls and just peaceful surroundings, animals just sitting there. And one such artist painted something a little bit different in this same competition. And it was a picture of raging waves and storms and all sorts of things happening, just absolute chaos. But right in the middle was a dove and its chicks at peace in their nest. And that's what it pictured. And you know what? When all of the judging panel looked at all of the paintings that were presented to them, they looked, yes, the waterfalls are great. This is all fantastic. Blue skies, great stuff. Oh, what's this one? What's this one? This is awful. But when they looked closer, they seen the peace and the rest that was right in the middle. And you know what? That's the painting that won that competition. I said that to say this, is that we are in a world of unrest. We live a life at times of really bad unrest. There's things that come against us. There's challenges. There's trials. There's raging storms. There's waves trying to take us out. But we can, just like the song said before, we can see over those waves if we look at Jesus. When Peter was that water-walking disciple, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he would walk on the water. As soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, what happened? He sunk. He started to sink. The key, church, is to look to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He wants to give you a rest. He wants to give your soul a rest, and we're going to read that soon. But I want you to understand this morning that no matter how much the storm rages, no matter how much the wind pounds against you, I don't know if you were around yesterday, but there was just no storm at the time here, but in town, but there was a real strong gust of wind yesterday around lunchtime, really strong. And I was a little bit concerned because we've got getting our roof fixed up from damage, and we've got the safety stuff up all around the house. And I was making sure I'm hoping the guys put it up strong because it was really a strong gust of wind. I don't know, it might have only just hit our house, but it was something that even in the midst of it, you just of the storms of life, we've got to have that peace in our heart, and we've got to know that God is our rest. He is our true Sabbath. Amen. So as we're looking through here, I just want to touch on one passage. If you're struggling in life at the moment, I want to just give you this passage, if for nothing else, as a message of encouragement. And it's found over in Isaiah chapter 40. And this whole chapter is explaining and teaching that God renews the strength of his people. He brings renewed strength. So when you're weak, he is strong, and he brings that strength into your life and into your heart. And in verse 31 of chapter 40, it's a very well-known passage. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. I want you to be encouraged by that, because it's not you who can renew your strength. It's God who can renew the strength in you, because he is your strength. He is your hope. He's your vitality. And when things are coming against you, when things aren't going quite as they should in your opinion or in your views, my challenge to you this morning is just look to Jesus. Look to him and say, Lord, you are my rest. You're my hope. This situation's coming against me like a flood. Satan's trying to really squash me. But I know that greater is he who lives in me than he who's in the world. And because of that revelation in my heart of hearts, I know that whatever comes against me, I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm going to be more than a conqueror because of him. Not because of what I can do or how good I know the Bible or how many prayers I pray, or how many days I miss church or go to church, but it's because of him, and it's because of his unending, uncompromising love for each one of us, that he just wants us to come into the shadow of his and under his wings so that he can embrace us, so that we can embrace him. Do you know, if you draw near to God, what's the rest of the scripture say? Amen. We need to have that desire in our hearts to draw near to the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, because he desires to renew our strength. We're just going to go to the core passage this morning of Matthew chapter 11, and we're just going to read through that and study that this morning. I hope you're getting something out of this morning. I know that the Lord really wanted this message for me, at least. So if no one else is benefiting, I certainly am. But my prayer is that you will you will take this on board. So Matthew 11, and this is the song that Joy played just a few moments ago. This is where the scripture starts in verse 28. We'll just read from there. And it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So some points out of this passage here, and I've just written some notes down. In verse 28, come to him. When we're thinking about the Lord and the relationship that we have and have initiated many years ago for a lot of us, or maybe just last week for some of us, but it doesn't really matter when if you've been a Christian for, 30 years or 3 minutes, God treats everyone the same. He loves everyone the same. And he has the same desire for each one of us. And that desire is that we come to him. So we come to him as non-believers and receive him as our Lord and Savior. We confess him as Lord. We believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, as Romans talks about. But then it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there, because those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution, will suffer things that will come against them at times, even to the point of death. But we have to have that attitude that just as we came to him and we witnessed and received that first love, that very first time, do you remember the day of your salvation? Do you remember the day that you heard that preacher preach, or that, that Bible study, wherever you might have been, down the street even, wherever you were, do you remember that day and the first love that you received and had a revelation of? No one remembers. I do. I was on a Gold Coast, at a Gold Coast church in 1991, and the preacher preached, and my sister, my father, and myself, mum was already a believer, we just went up and just received what God had for us. And from that point on, I've been the perfect person, and my life has been perfect ever since. No trials, no challenges, no mistakes. What I'm saying is, it's a lot of the time, all the time, there's challenges that will try to bring a crossroad decision in our life. And we can either submit to those challenges and those trials and submit to them and just say, okay, I lose, you win, devil. Or we can make a stand, and we can continue to come to him, to come to him, to come to him. Every day of our lives. It's saying, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden. It's not just because I wasn't a Christian and that I was heavy laden and laboring then. It's every day of my life I'm laboring, spiritually speaking. I'm not talking about the world here. Don't worry about my truck. Don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about your job. I'm talking about laboring spiritually, being challenged in the spirit realm. A lot of us don't understand the depth of the spirit realm. If we only knew the depth of it, it would just boggle our whole minds. We couldn't handle it, to tell you the truth. But the point is that we are challenged every day in the spiritual realm. And Jesus says, when you're laboring and when you're heavy laden, well, praise God, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Behold, this is the day the Lord has made. What am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be sad in it. I mean, glad in it. Amen. No, I'm not going to be sad. I'm going to be glad. I don't want to give you a Joel Osteen message this morning, but I do want to encourage you. And it's the word. It's not me. It's the word that will encourage you. So when we're looking at that, come unto me, it's not just come unto me, I believe, when things are going, bad, when we're desperate, but we need to come to him every day and say, Lord, I've had a really good few days. Praise your name. Thank you. And for any of the bad days that are ahead, praise your name. Give you glory. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for getting me through anything that will come into my path. That you are my deliverer, my king, my Lord and a friend that sticks closer than a brother, to say that. So don't let the enemy or the things of this world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, all of those things, don't let them hold you back from coming to him. Have you ever felt so guilty you feel like, I just can't go to God and and repent, or I just can't go to church because I've done this and I just feel guilty. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. Well, you know what? God doesn't want you to feel like it. He doesn't want you doing that stuff. He doesn't want you entertaining all of those things. But he certainly doesn't want you to feel guilty, because his grace is greater than your sin. His grace is far above and more powerful, and his love is more powerful than any sin you can ever commit. There's nothing that you've done that will make him love you more or less. He just loves you, and he desires the best for you. He desires for you to come to him when you're laboring, when you're laden. And he desires, when you do come to him, to take those yokes. Everyone do this. If you're challenged at the moment, I want you to just do this. This might sound a bit funny. Take them other yokes that aren't of God off. Take them off. And go to Jesus and receive that yoke that is light and it's and easy. You know, Jesus' yoke is easy. They say it's not easy to be a Christian, and in a sense that's true. But when you have a revelation of the victory that we have as believers in Jesus, and the identity of us as believers in Christ, and I identify myself as a believer of Jesus and a son of the Most High God, a son and a daughter, whatever the case may be, when I have him on my side, and the enemy comes in against me like a flood, trying to take me out, I'm not going to stand and fight the enemy in my own strength, but I am going to say, I can't fight you, devil, but I know someone who can. And I know someone who's already crushed you. I know someone who's already stood on your head. You may have bruised his heel, but he stood on your head. You are destroyed. And that's why Jesus came. He came to seek and save that which is lost, and he came to destroy the works of the devil in your life and in my life. Sometimes things in our life we mistake as a work of the devil, but it's really our carnality. It's our flesh. It's our own stupid faults for doing things and partaking of things that we shouldn't. Choices that we made yesterday affect our today. But whatever the case is, God is all loving, and he's willing to forgive if you'll come to him. Take his yoke upon you. And what's the other passage, or part of that passage say? It says, learn from him. You want to be an imitator of Jesus? I want to be an imitator. I want to look at Abba Father, Daddy God, and I want to say, I want to be just like you. Have you ever had parents here? There's parents in the room. Have you ever had your child say, I just want to be just like you? Or is it the other way around? It should be that my sons, for example, should look up to me as a father and say, I want to be just like you, Dad. I wouldn't advise them to be in some ways, but that's how we need to be with God. We need to look at him and admire him, offer adoration to him in such a way that, Lord, everything you are, all of your glory, or every aspect of your character, I want to be exactly like you. And I know I can't be because you're God, but I know through the Holy Spirit, through the resurrection and the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you've made a way that I can, maybe I won't be exactly like you, but I'm one of yours and I'm your possession. And day by day, you are changing me, day by day. I'm overcoming one thing at a time through the Holy Spirit, through his guidance, and through his leadings, if I would only listen to him and come to him. Amen. So this is a really good passage through here that we need to not just look at and glaze over, but we need to say, to live this. We need to recognize that every day we need to come unto him. And as we do all of this, as we're laboring, we're heavy laden, and we take the yoke upon him, his promise, isn't it good that God doesn't just give us orders, but he shows us that with this promise, or with this instruction, comes a promise for you. There comes a benefit to your life. There becomes a benefit to your soul. And as we read further down here, we're just going to go back to the passage here. in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then he's talking of his character, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. In other words, I'm a gentleman. The Holy Spirit, you ever heard the Holy Spirit being referred to as a gentleman? Well, it's because God's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Jesus is a gentleman. And you know what, gentlemen? We all need to be gentlemen. And what do you call a woman? Gentlewoman? I'm not sure. But we need to have that same heart as God has. But this is the promise that I'm talking about, and that is you will find rest for your souls. If you listen to me, if you come to me, you take my yoke upon you, you will find, finally, in some cases, you will find rest. Who's sick and tired of being sick and tired? Who's sick and tired of having those things in their life that just keep coming against them and you're just letting it hit you? You know, it's like the guy in the punching ring. You know, if I was to go and fight, you know, Mike Tyson, he's a bit older now, I might have a chance. The thing is, would I stand in the ring and just stand here and... would I just stand there and just take it? We need to know that we can stand. And having done all, we continue to stand. Not out of our own selves, like I said before, but it is Jesus who has already won the battle. Amen. So people who are unwell right now, people who are through, you know, relationship problems, going through tough times relationally, financial issues, whatever the issue is in their life right now, any types of stress and all of that, you know, that has been all dealt with 2,000 years ago. It's all been dealt with. Jesus, just as God rested on the seventh day, just as he rested on the seventh day, and then he said, it's complete. He said, Jesus said on the cross these three words in the same way, and meaning the same thing. It is finished. In other words, the enemy... all of your schemes, all of your plans, though you may succeed or it looks like you're succeeding, just as he looked like when he had Jesus crucified there, or when Jesus was crucified, he didn't have Jesus crucified, Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. But the enemy has no power when you step into this place of rest. And with that promise, that precious promise that's found, that I will give rest to your souls, there is no greater peace that you will find anywhere in this world and any time in this life that you're living than to find rest for your soul that is instigated through Jesus Christ. And you know, your soul consists of three things. Does anyone know what they are? Your mind, your will, emotions. Thanks, Helen. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So if he's going to give rest to my soul, he's going to give rest to my mind. He's going to give rest to my will. In other words, I don't have to think about what God's will is. I just know that I know in my heart of hearts when I'm in tune with God, this is the way, walk in it. I will hear that voice behind me saying, amen. And I will just know that I know that this is God's will. I won't have any doubts. But I only want to listen to his voice. I don't want to listen to a voice, that of a stranger. I want to listen to his voice. Because I know when I listen to his voice, I'm going to be stepping straight into his perfect will. And what is the will of God for your life? What is the will of God for my life? The only way to truly define that and to know that is to a deep, meaningful relationship with the Lord. That we have intimacy with him. And in the midst of that intimacy, we will find that true rest for our souls. In the midst of that intimacy, we will come to worship him in spirit and in truth as he has instructed us to. And we need to understand that. The third part is the emotions. And the emotions, I guess, out of the three facets or the three parts, aspects of the soul, is the most turbulent. It's all over the place. Who has some crazy emotions in their home at times? We all do. There's anger. There's happiness. There's all sorts of things that can go through. But the promise is that he'll give rest to all of that stuff. So that when you're stepping out to be angry, suddenly the Holy Spirit and this voice within you will unction you and say, no, you don't need to go there. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. So we need to understand that God's never, ever trying to get something from us when he's instructing us with something in his word. He is always trying to get something to us. Amen. Even it's for our benefit that we listen to him. It's to our advantage that we come to him with a heart full of praise and a heart full of gratitude and an obedient heart toward him. Because as we are obedient to him, it says that if we're willing and we're obedient, we will eat what? The fruit of the land. Are you willing? And are you obedient? Because you have to be both. Because I can be willing and I can say, God, I'm going to do this, 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 this and that. I write it all down on paper and believe you me, this has been me at times, I can tell you. And the people in here who know me the best know that I'm willing, but I'm not always following through with it. Hopefully some of you are like a bit the same. That'll make me feel a bit better. But certainly if we're willing and we mix that willingness with obedience and devotion to our God, he has promised to bring blessing in our lives. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about anything of this world. But the greatest blessing is that intimacy you can have with Jesus, that as you come to him, that he will give you that rest that you so much need. So it's a rest. It's a rest that we, like in this world, that we can't comprehend. That's why this morning I've shared this message. I wanted to get to you. God wants to get to you the message that true rest or true Sabbath isn't going to church that is more than a mile away on a Saturday, because you're already breaking the Sabbath if you travel more than a mile. So keeping the Sabbath is impossible unless you live next door to your church. Not judging anyone, but that's the truth. But the point is, we need to understand that the true Sabbath is found in the heart of Jesus. There's our true rest. He's come to fulfill the law. He's come to fulfill the prophets. He's come to seek and save that which is lost. He come to destroy the works of the enemy. He come to deliver us from sinfulness. He come to overcome death, to remove from death its sting and its power. So even though we die in this life, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Death will have no power over the believer. Are you a believer in here this morning? Or you just come for a social gathering this morning? God wants us to be believers, not just going through the motions, but he wants us to be fired up. He wants us to be within his all-consuming fire all of the time. Because as we are, he's just purging us, cleansing us, purifying us day by day as we come to him. Amen. One final thing I want to share before we close, and I'll just ask Joy and the team to come back and for the final song. It's just a revelation or an insight that the Lord gave me in sharing, in preparing for this message. When God seen that everything was good and the work was done, it was finished, complete, right? And then he sanctified the seventh day. He set it apart for rest. Now, it wasn't because God was weary. It wasn't because, I'm just that last batch of stars just completely wore me out. It's because it was complete. It's because it was done. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished," because it was done. It was finished. So in relation to creation, there's a rhyme. We need to look at the first 6 days and then separate that seventh day. All the work was done in the first 6 days. How often in our Christian walk are we so focused on work, 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 works, but we don't set that day aside to rest in him? So what I'm saying, and my challenge to you in closing this morning, are you a 1, 2, 3, or first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth day Christian? Are you a works Christian? Or are you a grace Christian who's resting in God? Are you a number seven? Are you a seventh Christian? A seventh day Christian? Just a question to you. Just think about it. Because that's where he wants you to be, in that rest. Because the work is done. Creation is complete. Resurrection is complete. Everything is set. All we have to do is walk in it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that we can come before you and we can exercise our faith, Lord Jesus, to know that your word is living and powerful. And it changes us, Lord. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just lead and guide your people.